So it's Palm Sunday. It's another Christian holiday that we come to celebrate just about every year. But I want to take you back to the time when Jesus was there, so you get a better picture of what was transpiring and what was going on in his life. We know that he had a ministry for 3 years. We know that he had done miracle upon miracle upon miracle, healing the sick, raising the dead, Lazarus, for example, a little girl, a little boy, healing the blind, those that were lepers, those that were outcast. He brought them into his fold. Anybody who would listen, he would enter their heart and their mind and their souls, and he would invite them to become a disciple, to follow him. And so he knew that his work was about over. This was the last part of his ministry, and it was the last week of his life. And in the prior week, he had raised Lazarus from the dead, and there was this great, awesome celebration. And all the people gathered there. But in the meantime, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they wanted to kill Jesus because he was a threat to them. Because Jesus represented everything that was good and merciful and loving. And they who had power wanted to take him down. But that was also part of the whole plan that God had prophesied that the great king would come and he would be humble. He wouldn't be like the worldly kings that we see today or even back then. He would be different, and we know that Jesus was. And so as we pick up the story in Matthew chapter 20, before I get to 21, I just want to give you what was transpiring. In chapter 20, verse 17, it says, as Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem, he took his disciples aside, the 12 of them, and he privately told them what was going to happen to him. When we get to Jerusalem, he said, the Son of Man will be betrayed to the leading priests and the teachers of religious law. They will sentence him to die. Then they will hand him over to the Romans to be mocked, whipped, and crucified. But on the third day, he will be raised from the dead. So he's telling what's going to happen to him. He's letting the disciples in on this great, prophetic, wonderful secret. Jesus is going to die in of just a few days. And he's preparing the disciples for that. And he's also preparing them not only for how he's going to die, but what's going to happen after he dies. He'll be raised from the dead. So then the mother of James and John come to him and they say, hey, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, do you mind if my two boys, James and John, can they kind of be like right-hand men for you? So we see James's mother suddenly misunderstanding the whole purpose of what Jesus just said, how horrific it was going to be for him, how he was going to die, because remember, people were familiar with crucifixions. And she's worried about where her boys are going to fit in the power struggle, because they're so important to her, right? And Jesus warns her, and he says, well, are they prepared? Are they able to drink the cup of suffering that I'm about to go through? And they say to him, yes, we're able. We can suffer just like you, Lord. And he says, you will drink of that cup. But who prepares the places on the top? That's up to God. And then he goes walking along, and he goes through Jericho, and he's on the way to Jerusalem, so he passes through Jericho. And a huge crowd is following him now, right? So they're heading for Jerusalem. By the way, they're going to the Passover. A great celebration is going to take place in Jerusalem. That's the reason Jesus is taking his disciples there. And so he passes through Jericho. And while he's going through Jericho, we suddenly hear a couple of guys, blind men, by the side of the road, and they're yelling, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Now, Son of David was really only in the Old Testament times, Son of David was only meant for the Messiah. The Son of David was going to be who the Messiah was. It was predicted in the Old Testament, in the book of Samuel, that there would be the king would last forever, and it would be not an earthly king, but a heavenly king. And that king would be the Son of David. You know David, who was the great king of Israel at one time, right? Well, we know that Jesus was born of Joseph and Mary. Joseph was in the lineage of David. Mary was also in the lineage of David. The thing about Joseph was he adopted Jesus. The other side of it was Mary was her blood, his blood went through him. So birth mother, adopted father. Now, when you understand biblical teachings and you understand us Gentiles, that we were not born as Jews, right? So we're not really in the line of David, are we? No, we're not. But whose line are we in? We're in the line of Jesus, who was adopted. You see that why in Romans later, Paul talks about us being adopted as children of God through Jesus Christ? You see how the adoption has to take place, son of David. So in the meantime, these two men are screaming out, Lord, have mercy on us. Jesus felt sorry for them and touched their eyes. Instantly they could see, and they followed him. So what do we have going on in this scenario? We have the 12 disciples. We have all the people who were following Jesus. We now have two blind people who can now see. They're following Jesus. And we'll pick up the story in Matthew 21. As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two on ahead of him, two of his disciples. Go into the village over there, he said, and you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them here. If anyone asks you what you're doing, just say, the Lord needs them, and he will immediately send them. This was done to fulfill the prophecy. Tell the people, look, your king is coming. He is humble, riding on a donkey, even on a donkey's colt. Zechariah 9:9. Prophecies being fulfilled by Jesus, right? The two disciples did as Jesus said. They brought the animals to him and threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their coats on the road ahead of Jesus, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. He was in the center of the procession, and the crowds all around him were shouting, Hosanna! Praise God for the Son of David! Bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Praise God in highest heaven! So what is the crowd shouting? Hosanna, Son of David. This is the Messiah that is coming. Why? Because the prophecy is being fulfilled. All the prophecies that were ever written in the Old Testament are this day being fulfilled by Jesus riding in on a colt. He's in the center of the procession. Isn't that where Jesus needs to be in our life? In the center? In the center. And crowds are following him. It's a massive crowd following him. Just get a picture of what that's like. And people are shouting. They're screaming to God, thanking God that the Messiah has finally come. Anybody here need an answer to anything this morning? Anybody need some solution in your life that's going to change you inside, or some resolution, or some kind of something where you need God to come into the center of your circumstance? Anybody here need that? Right. We're the crowd today, aren't we? Aren't we? We're the crowd every time we gather in this holy place. We know that Jesus is here and he comes marching in. And we start shouting, Son of David. And the word Hosanna in the Old Testament means save now. I don't know about you, but wouldn't you like to be saved now? Wouldn't like all the situations that are going on in this world, but wouldn't you want them to be saved right now? Yes, we would. So, oh, yes, we would. All the things that are going on in all of our lives and all over this world, wouldn't it be great if the Messiah would just come back right now and save us all? Amen. Wouldn't it be awesome? I didn't get here yet. Okay. He's on the way. He'll get here. Maybe by the time service is over, one never knows. But in the meantime, no matter what day, week, or holiday we're celebrating, this is essentially a Christian holiday, you know, what we call Palm Sunday. It's a great celebratory remembrance day. But don't we need God to save us every day? Isn't every day a day? I don't know about you, but sometimes do we not, in your middle of your day or in the middle of your night or the middle of whatever's going on in your life, wherever you might be, are you not yelling, Hosanna! Save now! Right now, help me right now, right? Yes. And I want you to know that it's okay to shout out to God things like that. It's perfectly okay. And it's perfectly okay while you're in the church, while we're having service, if you need God to save you, it's okay to wave your hands and get God's attention. It's perfectly okay to say, hey, here I am. Whoa, don't forget about me. Whoa, 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 me, It's okay. We could use the wind in here sometimes, right? Get, you know, it's fanning. It's perfectly okay, right? It's perfectly okay. Because look at what Jesus does. Before he's on the way to Jerusalem, a great day, a triumphant entry, before he goes, he realizes what he's going to face. But does that stop him from going to Jerusalem? No. Does it stop him on the way when he hears those two men that are crying out that they want to see? And not, we're not all blind physically, but many of us are blind spiritually, aren't we? We're blind sometimes to our qualities and how God loves us and all those other things that God can do in us, or that we are worthy or deserving, and all those other things that we sometimes believe that aren't always true about us. They blind us from who God really is for us, right? Right. And so we cry out to God, what do you want, he says. I want to see. I want to see more clearly. And when I see, I want to follow you. Because when I follow you, I'm going to go somewhere great. And if nothing else, I just want to be near you, Lord. Because somehow when I'm around Jesus, I don't know about you, but when I'm around his presence, when I'm with in fully understanding and I center myself and I know I'm with the Lord, things change. Because my focus changes onto him and his power, his glory, his might, his healing touch. All the miraculous things that God is are wrapped up in that Jesus. And when I focus on him, the world kind of just gets dim, doesn't it? And peace comes. The circumstance may or may not change, but just for a second, my focus is on God. And I can praise and thank him for all the good he's done. How many times he's already saved me and you, right? We've been saved many times over, have we not? By so and from so many things, including ourselves sometimes, right? Verse 10, it says, the entire city of Jerusalem was stirred as he entered. You know, when Christ enters, whenever Christ and the Holy Spirit enters our worship service here, I mean, we're nothing fancy here. I mean, we can't get the internet going half the time. The lights over here are off, and I think the speakers are still buzzing, and who knows? I mean, my mic's probably way too loud, but we want to make sure people can hear us somehow out in the world, so we've got to get the message across. But, I mean, the point being, that's not what we're focused on, is it? But it can distract us, can't it? Sure can. Sure can. But isn't it cool how basic we can become when we suddenly, all of a sudden, like, cut palms down from a friend's yard to use them for Palm Sunday? Just like they did. Just like they did. And we did a good deed for that friend who needed their palms trimmed. So we did good. Right? And a little bit earlier, for those of you who don't know it, in case you didn't know, when we first arrived at the church today, we had absolutely no internet. Our router's toast for some crazy reason. And so that makes our TV roast over here, a monitor that's supposed to show you the words of the songs, but you sang beautifully anyway. Amazing how you can just sing to God, right? It comes from your heart. It doesn't come from pages. It doesn't come from PowerPoints. It comes from the heart, right? Our worship and our praise. Well, we get here, right? And so just like Jesus told those disciples, go get me a donkey. We had somebody here said, I have a router at home. The Lord needs it. Go get it. So we have a router, and just so happens we are able to do our internet service so our folks can listen that are listening online around the world. See how God provides every one of the needs that we have for all of our lives, right? Right. But we have to clear the way, don't we? Of all the things that, you know, at some given point I was back there and I was thinking, you know what, we ought to just have like basic church. You know? We got a guitar, and maybe it'll go over the speaker, maybe it won't. But we surely have somebody who can play that guitar. And we got singers that can surely sing and rock this place, right? And we got a congregation of worshipers that love God and want to worship God and thank God for being saved, right? For all of us that have been blind and now we can see, lame and now we can walk, once dead spiritually speaking, once thought our life was over because of calamities or sadness or loss or whatever it might be that's happened to us, persecutions of all kinds of things have happened to all of us, right? And yet we can still find a way to praise God and thank God, can't we? Of course we can. Because we clear that stuff out of the way. Those are just distractions. Those are just things that try to get in the way of us seeing who God really is, a loving, wonderful, beautiful Savior who loves us unconditionally and who wants us to follow him, even if it means following him to the cross. We follow him because we know what that cross means for us, right? Forgiveness of sins, wholeness, relief and release, no longer captive, no longer separated from God. We're joined to Christ at the cross. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to know that God did save us, right? Verse 12, Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out the merchants and their customers. Where he go? Where is he heading? He's heading to Jerusalem, but where does he go? He goes to the temple. What's he find in the temple of God? Merchants. Fake people. Hypocrites. He knocked over the tables of the money changers and the stalls of those selling doves. They sold the doves to the poorest people, remember. They were coming to bring the doves for sacrifice. And so they were taking advantage of the poor, selling the doves to them at five times the cost when they could barely live and eat. These were the religious leaders of the time. And that got really, that kind of ticked off Jesus, to say the least. Because that's not what the temple of God is for, is it? Never. He said, the scriptures declare, my temple will be called a place of prayer. But you have turned it into a den of thieves. Who's he talking to? Those Pharisees, the merchants, all those people that think money is mightier than God, right? They lost sight of what that temple was designed for. So he upsets the apple cart. He throws everybody out of the temple. And he clears the way. He gets rid of all that stuff that gets in the way of what his real ministry was. And then the very next verse, verse 14, it says, the blind and lame came to him. So get the picture. He's walking from Jerusalem. He's walking from Bethany. He goes through Jericho. He has this great procession in the middle of Jerusalem. They wave all kinds of palms at him. He's sitting up on a donkey. There's this great procession of all the people praising him. He ends up in the temple of God. And what does he do when he's there? He clears out everything that doesn't belong to God and gets in the way of God's holy temple. And then he has the blind and the lame come to him. So you can just get a picture of this. He's off the donkey now. He's walked around in the temple. What does he do? He calls the people to him and he says, come to me. Come to me and let me heal you. This is a house of prayer. The leading priests and the teachers of religious law saw these wonderful miracles and heard even the little children in the temple. Oh, they were allowed in there, by the way. Everybody's allowed in the temple of God, aren't they? Everybody's allowed. And the children shouted, praise God for the Son of David. Even the children knew he was the Messiah, the Son of God. Even the children knew who Jesus was, and they praised God. And Jesus said, haven't you ever read the scriptures? They say you have taught children and infants to give you praise. So while he's in that temple, what does he do? He does healing. The children understand him. He brings the children to him. And then when he's done with that, it says he returned to Bethany where he stayed overnight. The story of Palm Sunday. Let's look at what it all means for us. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of picking up on the scriptures where when Jesus enters the temple, this temple, there's not just this temple, this church temple called Christ the Cornerstone. There's this temple, right? You and me, we're the temples of God, are we not? Amen. Right, right, right? So because we are, if Jesus was to walk in here right now, wouldn't he have to clear anything out of this temple? Oops, I don't like to have to answer yes. I'm clean. I'm all swum. I took a shower. I'm all good. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. See, here's the thing. If any one of us have something that's in the way between us and God, right? Anything. I don't know what it is for you. I can only speak for myself what my things are. But I'm not going to speak them out loud because they're between me and God. But I do know this. There are many times that things get, they blur my vision. They block my vision. I get focused on those other things. So there's things in the way of me really serving God. Maybe like James and John, it's like, well, I want a better position. You know, can I move up in rank, God? Can you kind of make me one of your favorites, please? Ha, 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 ha. I'd like a turn. Or maybe it's just that we misconstrue what actual worship is. And we think worship is all kinds of fanfare and doing all kinds of cool things and singing all pretty songs, but inside our hearts are far away from God. Can be that way, right? Things can always block what's, you know, you got things on your mind when you come to church, and I understand that, right? These people that followed Jesus, they were not perfect, just in case you didn't know that. Many of them were healed of different afflictions, right? Some were blind, some were lame. Some were both. Some were spiritually lost, right? But they were doing what? Following Jesus. Because the longer we follow Jesus and the more we follow Jesus, what can transpire is more and more gets cleared out. More and more gets cleared out. Now, I know you've been doing your Lenten challenge homework, right? For the last almost 40 days. We're coming to the close of it. And the first part of that was to do what? Clear some things out. It's not surprising that we have this message this morning that we say we have to make way for Christ in. So I want us as a group, because it's so important, to see what really Jesus' intention was. He was on his way to Jerusalem, but he was heading more importantly to the temple so that he could heal his people. He was going to the cross, and he will go to the cross to give us forgiveness. But when he shows up in our lives like he has this morning, it's to clear some things out. Because I don't know about you, but if everybody were to stand up, let's say, go ahead and do that right now for me, please. And if you kind of move together, really kind of get together into the middle, come on, get together, get together, 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 very nice, together, this beautiful family, together. Now, I love all of you, but I'm going to pretend that you're kind of things that are in my way. See, if you understand, if you visually look at this, the person in the back, okay, maybe Dawn or either Amber, one of you that's free, if you want to come through this crowd, you want to do that? Are you good with doing that? Go ahead, come on and do that. Come on. And if you notice that, I mean, she's really trying to get up here. She's trying to get up here to where God is. They're being pushy. Now, with those things, there were those. So somebody's cheating. So now, if I were to tell you that Jesus was coming through. You notice, very nice, all right. Now, if you notice, the things that get in our way, they could be fear, they could be doubt. They could very well be other people that we find more important than us. We might believe in what they say more than what we believe. They might be things that have happened in our life one way, shape, or form. But just as that, I mean, I did not plan that, did I, folks, right? This was not a planned situation. This is how the Holy Spirit moves. But you see, when Jesus shows up, in the name of Jesus, somehow, some way, everything got separated, didn't it? And it moved aside. Whatever's going on in your life, whatever it might be, anything that gets in your way, that tries to stop you from your greatness and your goodness and all the your relationship with God, whatever it might be that life circumstance has hurt you or harmed you, or whatever it might be that's standing in your way, and it could be a ton of things in your way, by saying Jesus, come through here. Help me through this. And you follow him. You notice Amber followed Jesus and the crowd parted, did it not? And the seas parted, just like the Passover actually occurred, right? When those people were able to be freed and had the great exodus out of Egypt into the promised land. We can part so many things by calling on the name of Jesus. Now, the thing of it is this. In this temple, our temple, we need to really reflect through prayer. God, what is it that you need to clear out of me so that you have more room in me? Do I worry too much? Am I afraid? Was I hurt in my past? Does my past constantly come back into my viewpoint and cause me more pain? Is there someone or something that is blocking me from you, God? Something they've done or I've done that I need forgiveness for? When you take that time alone to pray that prayer and you say, clear the way out of me, God. All that stuff, remember that appendix that we saw earlier? Well, at least I could see it from the front. And it was gross, I do want to tell you. The things that are in us that need to come out. The Bible tells us that God will take out our stony heart and put in a new heart, right, in Ezekiel. That's my prayer today. This temple, this place that we are, is a place of prayer. And that's why each Sunday we stop now. As the sermon comes to a close, we take and apply what we know and what we believe. Each and every one of us needs something from God today. He is the Messiah. He is the chosen one of God. He's the most powerful entity that ever existed or ever will exist. And he welcomes us all into his holy temple where we can find peace and joy. And we can cry out today, Son of David, save me now. And I promise you, Jesus will. Amen.